Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back here on the morning shift in our 8 o'clock hour, it's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. So can Leonard Floyd get to, what, 11 sacks here with the Falcons? That is what he has set his goal at and probably more. Do you think he can achieve that and help to elevate this pass rush here in Atlanta?
I don't know if he can achieve it. And honestly, I think a bigger question is how much does that elevate the people around him and the defense as a whole and the team as a whole? Because I think your defense, of course, we talked about how you're 32nd, 31st, 30th last year in sacks as a team. And it, even though the number climbed through the end of the season, you barely got out of the basement of the NFL. And so if he's able to hit that number, what does that do for Ono Dibakayi? What does it mean for Braylon Trice? What does it mean for whoever else that you're asking to rush the passer in multiple roles on this defensive front? And how can he bring along guys like Ruka Rororo and Brandon Dorlus? So I think he can do it. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, he's a guy who knows how to get to the quarterback. But how does he fit in Ulbrich's scheme? And what does that mean for the rest of the defense is you know, kind of where I'll be focused for the next 4 or 5 months leading into week one.
Yeah, it's a really good question of how he can impact this team and how, if those sacks or if he hits the bulk of them, will affect anyone. So what do you have to say about it? Again, this is the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. You can give us your thoughts on that. All right, let's go to the lines right now. We've got Anthony in Covington. What's up, Anthony?
Good morning. Hey, Mike, what day is it? Hump day!
Oh, attaboy. I love it.
OB, give me that win.
I love it,
right,
man. I love it.
Bring everybody. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Squid.
Sir.
All-American.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Number one in your heart. Number one in your program. Let's put good morning, man. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Oh.
So, I was listening to something the other day, and obviously I wasn't able to get to you guys, but we talked about, like, being in places you know for a fact you don't belong, right?
Yeah.
So this happened many, many moons ago when I had the extreme privilege of living in Japan with my wife and my daughter, and we were young, you know, 23, 24 years old, and just a lowly life enlisted sailor out there having a good old time out there in the streets of Yokosuka, Japan. And we befriended a couple people who are NCIS agents, right? And, you know, just to fill y'all in, just watch the show, y'all get it, right? And they invited us out for drinks, right? not a problem. Whatever. We can drink with the best of them, whatever. We're sailing. We ain't scared of nothing, right? Except we get in the elevator. It goes up like 4 flights of stairs, and all of a sudden it opens up, and there's fish, like, in the walls and in the tables. And we get 3 drinks, and we realize it is $150 for 3 drinks.
Oh, Jesus.
And we fix those with Coke really quick, and we run out of there, and we go back to our normal scheduled lives, which is a $3 beer. But only time in my life that I feel like I know for a fact we did not belong. Just the way my bank account was set up, absolutely not. But once again, guys, I love you guys. I hope y'all have a fantastic day. We love y'all, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, we appreciate that.
If you guys didn't hear it, the other day we were having a conversation about how I went to Canoe this weekend, and I asked for saltines, and they told me they didn't have any. They didn't use saltines at Canoe, and I wanted them for my oysters. So, yeah, I felt pretty out of place. And my wife last night was bringing up other times that maybe things like this have happened that I honestly haven't even recognized, I guess, at times. But it's just, look, man, you get in where you fit in. I've been to nice restaurants, never been denied saltines before, but I'm with you. You go into some place and 3 drinks cost $150? No thanks. I'm going to head back out the other direction, man. I'm good on that.
Definitely have not had that happen before. I will say there was a time where I probably didn't belong, but I had my first big girl job, and I took my sister and her friend Missy. I was like, I'll treat you guys to lunch. And so we go to have pizza, and I go to pay the final bill, and my debit card declined.
No!
It's my first big girl job, and I was like,
there
I got it, guys.
Nothing worse than being
shame.
Like, I got it.
The shame. My sister has never let me. It was like 25 whatever years ago. She has never let me live that down.
That
so.
Is epic.
Anyway, shout out to Missy and my sister Candace.
Happened one time when I was over in Singapore, visiting Singapore, and I went to, if you guys have ever seen pictures of Singapore, there's one on top of 3 towers, looks like a boat. I don't remember what they call the building. It looks like a boat that stretches across the top of 3 towers, and there's like a bar on the rooftop, and went up there, and like one drink was like $45. But I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like one of those things where I was like, okay, this is the only time I'll probably ever be on top of this boat in Singapore. Like,
why
I'll go up and
it?
Get a toddy. Like, whatever. And yeah, after that one $45 drink, I showed myself out. And that's, you know, that was pre-kids when the zeros were a little more lined up.
You're like,
than
nah,
they are now.
I'm good.
So,
all right, back to the lines we go. We got Jay in Riverdale. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Hey, I feel the Leonard Floyd, man. It's cool. But we done heard it all, man. We done heard it. You know, we done heard it from Tag. We done heard it from Judon. So all it is, you guys just prove to us that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know, I got to see it now, man, because I done heard it too many times. But thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Jay.
My coach used to say all the time, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I used to have a coach that say all the time, don't tell me about the pain, show me the baby. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what I feel like he's trying to say. Don't tell me about the pain, dude. Show me the baby.
That's kind of what Kirby Smart's having his problem with his team right now. I don't know if you guys saw his comments, but basically he called his players soft. And he said that they don't want to be coached. And it was, I thought it was interesting because, I guess at some of the pro day, he talked with some NFL coaches and he's like, yeah, man, it's like they come to practice. They talk about how their players want to be coached. They love to be given a nugget, a technique that might help them play longer. Some of our guys are offended by it. He went on to say, you're coaching me hard, ? You're telling me I've got to play with effort, ? That's what his players are telling him, obviously. Some of them, I guess, have never been held to that standard. And that standard is not going to change here. That is a problem in college sports right now. And Kirby Smart is dealing with it.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
No, he's not. But he's a guy that's willing to speak up about it because of his track record. And he knows it's not going to stop him from getting guys. And, you know, I hope coaches, you know, and teams that I pull for as well have the same attitude in college because that is – that's a problem. If you don't want to be coached, I mean,
yeah,
good luck.
It was interesting to hear those comments come from him because I think I can't remember the number. I think it's 37 new players they had this spring at Georgia, which is just insane. But it's kind of, you know, when you're at a place like Georgia in the transfer portal era, that's what you're going to deal with. And who was it? Was it John Calipari who was talking about how the portal opened Monday and we're in the middle of the Sweet 16? He's like, dude, this is what we're all dealing with.
A couple of guys did. Yeah, a couple of guys talked about it.
And he said, welcome to my life, man. It's crazy what's going on in some of those situations. So I'm with you. It just, and it's so hard to judge these kids. They're in such a different era than I was just 15 years ago, 16 years ago in college. It's just a whole different set of circumstances. It's not even really the same sport in a lot of different ways. And so, yeah, it perked my ears up to hear Kirby come out and say things like that as well.
Let's go back to the lines. We got Dan in Decatur. What's going on, Dan?
What's going on, Morning Show family?
What's up, man? Bo, good morning.
You definitely look like a race car driver, buddy. Bo Turbo, whichever you want to do. Mike, you might need to start keeping some saltines in your glove compartment, brother.
Hey, man.
Just like Minty, keep that hot sauce in there. But I think Leonard Floor is going to be a great addition. But I'm like the last caller, Jay. It's a show. You got to prove it, bro. Judon came in, and even off of his interview that he gave and that he was basically saying, I know I got to prove myself and all this other stuff, but you didn't do it. And so at the same time, the other pieces around Leonard Floyd on the defensive line have to do their job. I felt like like you said, we've been having problems with the pass rush. Grady Jarrett, all the pressure was on him because there was no other pressure coming from up front. So I felt like Grady was doing all the work. So at the same time, Ebiketie, all of those guys have to step up and do their thing too at the same time, so that frees up Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd does the thing that frees up Ebiketie. So everybody has to work together. But at the same time, Leonard Floyd got to come in here. He got to show us what he's about. Everything he's talking about, you got to prove it,
yeah.
Period.
That's a great call.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, thanks, I agree with you, but I think in that light, I feel like Ebiketie probably had his best season overall last year as a pro. And if you go look at his pressure rate, you know, he led the team in sacks, which, again, I know it's not saying much when you're the 31st ranked team in sacks, but he had his best year. Imagine if Ebiketie could have got some help inside or got some help on the other edge. Maybe Ebiketie would have been the one that took off. I feel like, though, he was the guy that was begging for help last year. That's why the Leonard Floyd thing does kind of excite me a little bit. The more I think about what is already here, is that, will that, you know, what if Leonard Floyd doesn't get 11.5 sacks, but what if his presence helps Arnold Ebiketie get 11.5 sacks? See, that's the thing for me. I'm not going to view Leonard Floyd, if it's only one season, which I'd like to be more, but if it's only one year, I won't view it on just his output. I'll view it on when he was on the field, who was opposite him and how that guy played and how Leonard Floyd's presence and effort helped that guy, because that's important as well. And to teach a Braylon Trice how to get better at pass rushing and to learn how to pass rush as a young guy.
To your point, I'm not going to shed a tear over the fact that Matthew Judon's not back in the fold with the Atlanta Falcons. And it the numbers weren't there, and he did talk the talk when he got here. And we were celebrating when that trade happened. We finally got a pass rusher. Yeah, I had to give up a third rounder, but it is what it is. And now when you look at the output and really the effort in so many different ways of Matthew Judon, so frustrating how many times we come in here on a Monday and Tuesday, turn on the film, and just wonder what he was even thinking about. And that's a guy that was in a contract year that is still a free agent right now. And you know why? Because when people turn on the tape, there's nothing there. So frustrating, man. So I'm with you. The Leonard Floyd, awesome. Glad to have you. Show me what time it is when the season hits.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Well, up next, we've got NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline joining us here on the show. He's got eyes and ears everywhere, so we'll get into some pro days that took place, including one at Marshall with a certain pass rusher and a certain NFL team that happens to be in Atlanta. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. We're back here on The Morning Shift and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKita.com, Tony Pauline, joining us yet again. Good to have you back with us, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to get to what you were tweeting out, and one of those tweets was about Marshall and the Atlanta Falcons head coach, Raheem Morris, being out there at the pro day. Could you get into a little more details as to what you know and maybe who they were looking at?
Well, actually, I found out later, and I reported in the story at Sports Skeeter that Atlanta basically had their entire front office, or at least most of their front office, out at the Marshall Pro Day to watch Mike Green. I mean, obviously, as I said last time, and I've written, I said when I was on with you last time, and I've written, it's going to be a defensive-oriented draft. You got to think they're going to go edge rusher at the top because it's a good edge rusher class, but you want to get one soon. So, I mean, it makes sense to get out there, see Mike Green, sit down, talk with him, get between his ears. He's an incredible talent. He's got some upside. You just have to make sure it's a good system fit.
Tony, I'm curious, and I know you've touched on this before on a number of other outlets, but edge rusher seems to be, and I think everybody wants to kind of categorize it as being a deep position. We've talked backwards, forwards, ups and downs about James Pierce and guys like that and Mike Green. How many edge rushers do you envision will actually, in the end, be first-rounders? How many guys actually are valuable enough to go inside of that group?
Well, I have four with solid first-round grades. That being said, I think that six will end up in the first round. Abdul Carter from Georgia, from Penn State, both Georgia players, Jalen Walker and Mikael Williams, James Pierce of Tennessee, Mike Green of Marshall, and at least one of the two Texas A&M players, either Nick Scowerton or Shamar Stewart. I have Scowerton rated slightly higher than Stewart, but I think Stewart will be the player that ends up in the first round. Is Ezeraku of Boston College going to be a first-round pick? He could, but I don't have it on my board.
Hey, Tony, I'm glad you brought up Scowerton. I mean, if you watch, based on what we saw watching film, I feel like he is more explosive than Shamar Stewart, maybe the better player. And I know that even he played a little bit heavier last year than I think than he normally would. What do you make of him?
Not just last year. I mean, go back to the prior year, 2023, when it was at Purdue, a bad Purdue team, and he was basically an unstoppable player on that front line. And I agree with you. He's a much better player than Shamar Stewart. He's much more polished than Shamar Stewart, who was an Olympic-type athlete. I mean, the fact that he played at 280 pounds and he was 257 at the combine, teams are going to have to figure that out. But he's athletic. He's explosive. He's much more of a natural pass rusher than Shamar Stewart, had much better production. I think the best way to characterize those two is Scowerton is the safer pick. Shamar Stewart has more upside if you can get him hitting on all cylinders, if you can transition that athleticism into football ability. But players that have huge upside often come with a lot of downside risk, and I think that is Shamar Stewart.
NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline hanging out with us here on the Morning Shift. Tony, I think all of us here in Atlanta are trying not to fall into this trap of focusing on edge rushers, but we continue to do it because we know how badly the Falcons need it. But let's focus on other positions. Let's take linebacker and let's take safety. And I know the Falcons obviously looking at all the defensive positions, but other than the guys that play up front, and I'll ask you to take Jalen Walker out of this group because you just included him with your edge rushers. Who's the best off-ball player as far as safeties, corners, linebackers, other outside of defensive linemen? Who are we talking about being the best players in this first round?
Well, I think if you're going to lump safeties and linebackers together, the highest rated player on my board would be Nick Emmanuel of South Carolina, who blew up the combine. He ran 4.38 at 220 pounds, and he's a good player on film. It's not, it's not a Shamar Stewart situation where the guy's a great athlete and you're wondering where the production is. I mean, Emmanuel, I think he had four interceptions last year, makes a lot of plays against the run. He transfers that athleticism onto the field. You can see that speed in a straight line and laterally. The thing is, at 220 pounds, are you using him at safety? Is he a strong safety? Is he a one-gap linebacker? After that, I would have Jihad Campbell of Alabama, who I believe is the best off-ball space in-space linebacker, if you'd like. 6'3", 235 pounds, ran a 5'2", and he plays to those testing numbers on the field. He's terrific in coverage, covers a lot of area sideline to sideline. Really didn't ask him to blitz that much, but in the past you've seen those types of players, whether it be a Jalen Walker and Abdul Carter, that were pure linebackers, become good blitzers, become good pass rushers up the field. So I believe that potential is there with Jihad Campbell.
Tony, so the New York Giants making headlines again. So they bring in Jameis Winston. They still got Tommy DeVito there. And then they just signed Russell Wilson. Are they still in play for a quarterback in the draft? I know they were out at some pro days.
Yeah, I don't in the draft, yes, but not in the first round. I definitely think that they will take a quarterback maybe day two at the early part of the fourth round if one drops to them. But I never thought they were going to take a quarterback with that third pick of the draft. So, yeah, I absolutely think they have to. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson's there on a one-year deal. Jameis Winston's there on a two-year deal. You don't know what you're getting from him. Tommy DeVito's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's more of a novelty than he is a true NFL quarterback. So I think absolutely the Giants will look quarterback either day two or early part of the day three.
Tony, who do you like in the cornerback room, or I guess department? It's J.D. Barron and really Will Johnson. Which one of those two do you like better than the other?
I like Will Johnson better significantly. It's just that he's not coming off a good season. I mean, again, with Will Johnson, you got to go back and you got to look at the film in 2022 and 2023 where he was a lockdown cornerback, where opposing quarterbacks were not throwing in his direction. He struggled with turf toe last year. It was a different defensive system with Wink Martindale coming in. They kind of used him off the ball, off the line of scrimmage, backed off in man coverage rather than in press. He seemed to struggle. He had the injury. I don't know if it was just a scheme thing or the injury issue, but going into 2024, a lot of people, including myself, thought that Will Johnson would be a very early draft pick. He's fallen, as has Benjamin Morrison. I do like J.D. Barron, but you know, Barron was a guy who oftentimes lined up over the slot receiver, was not a true outside cornerback at Texas. He seems to have those skills. He definitely has the size. He definitely has the confidence. I mean, he's a chatty guy, and you know, he's a confident guy, which you want the cornerback position. But I think all things being equal, I have Will Johnson rated pretty significantly higher than J.D. Barron.
Love it. Draft analyst Tony Pauline hanging out with us. Tony, one of the guys that, you know, as we've focused, like I said, here in Atlanta, up front on defense, but it really at all, you know, all three levels in a number of different positions. One of the guys that I've fallen in love with is Walter Nolan. And what's crazy about Walter Nolan is I see him mocked in the top 10, and some people have him all the way back in the second round. And I guess my question to you is, what value do you think interior defensive linemen are actually going to be able to hold in this draft? And I know they're considered to be deep. But, you know, when you look at some of the guys, it's hard to understand exactly what point there will be a run on guys like Walter Nolan.
Yeah, I mean, defensive tackles, interior defensive linemen are always coveted in the NFL draft. And people talk about the quarterbacks, that's true. Left tackles, cornerbacks, and defensive tackles, general managers, decision makers always want a lot of players at that position. Now, I think with Walter Nolan, he's a first-round prospect, but what happens is, last impressions are usually what, you know, people remember, or people who only cover the draft for a little bit of time rely on. And Walter Nolan was not good at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he was handled by mediocre talent at the Senior Bowl, as were a couple of those defensive tackles who did not play well. So people remember that, and they say, well, no way I'm taking this guy in the first round. And they forget about the prior 2 years of film, especially last year at Mississippi, where he was a dominant force. I mean, he was an explosive, gap-penetrating defensive tackle who could make plays behind the line of scrimmage, who could, who could rush the passer. He's a little bit smaller. So, you know, are you using him as a one-gap, in a one-gap scheme? Are you using him as a defensive end in a three-man line? Where does Walter Nolan fit at the next level? I have a solid first-round grade on him. I think he's going to go somewhere in the middle of the first round. He's a talented guy. He's produced on the football field. He has growth potential. So even though he was 296 at the combine, you look at that 6'4" frame, he should be able to add 10 to 15 pounds on that frame and play with the athleticism and the agility that he's shown the past 2 years, first at Texas A&M and then Mississippi.
Tony, we got about a minute left, but you wrote about the Boston College offensive line duo and how a number of teams were up there for their pro day, one of them being the Saints. Can you give us more insight into their interest?
Well, I mean, the Saints are a team that always seem to take offensive linemen. They can't get it right. I mean, they take offensive linemen early in the draft. I don't think they're taking the Boston College kids early in the draft. but they take offensive linemen consistently in the first round and day two, and they've expended so much draft capital on offensive linemen, yet they continually need offensive linemen. So maybe they're going, even the fact that they need offensive linemen, maybe they're going to peel back a little bit and they're going to take guys like Drew Kendall or Ozzie Trapillo in day three rather than use early picks on the offensive line. I think both of those Boston College kids, you know, they're not top-tier prospects, but they're smart, as you would expect anybody from Boston College coming out of. They play intelligent football. They get the most from their ability. They're fundamentally sound, and I think both will be good picks somewhere in the fourth, fifth round.
Awesome. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the insight, as always.
Thanks for having me.
That was consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKita.com, Tony Pauline. You can follow him on X at Tony Pauline. When we come back here on the morning shift, what about adding more to the Falcons' pass rush? What does their latest addition think of that? We will hear from him next, and we also will hit a Life of Squid. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, rolling along. We'll get to a Life of Squid in a minute, but first, the Falcons' new addition to the defense is Leonard Floyd, and he talked, you heard it throughout the show, about how he wants to surpass his goal and get more than 11 sacks or around 11 sacks this season. And so what is he going to do to achieve that goal? Well, here he is on that.
Next few weeks, I'm training with my trainer, working on pass rush. I'm big on game-type situations, so I always work on pass rush. Work on pass rush, work on pass rush, work on pass rush. That's all I do, yeah.
Yeah! Yeah! I hear you, Flo. I hear you. That's all we want you to do is work on pass rush.
Work on pass rush, work on pass rush,
yes.
Work on pass rush.
Yes, yes. Just keep, I'm just playing on loop. I'm going to put that in my headphones next time I go for a run. I'm just work on pass rush.
Work on pass rush, work on pass rush, work on pass rush.
That's all I do.
Yeah, it's almost like he's from here. Like he understands what we've been through.
Yeah, understands
the
issues.
He has family that's been through it. You know, I'm sure his family are Falcons fans. Well,
he said his mom was, yeah.
They're obviously fans of wherever he plays, but, you know, their secondary team's always probably been the Falcons. So, yeah, I mean that, look, again, I'm very happy with Leonard Floyd here. He seems like a phenomenal dude after, you know, listening to his press conference and his interview with Andy and Randy. But, okay. Well, go sack the quarterback. That's all of it comes down to they won't be remembered for the press conference. They'll be remembered for what happens this season. And I hope that it's good stuff because, you know, it would be cool to see a guy that did play grew up here, played college here, and then come home and be the guy that finally cracks the code of the, you know, the uniform that he's wearing, of being able to break the curse of John Abraham and become a guy that can get the quarterback on the ground again.
You know what's interesting about it, too, and I love hearing that from him, that he's working on pass rush. And they're always – listen, back when I was playing, the conversation always was that you got $1 million per sack. Like, that's what defensive ends, pass rushers, that's what they expected their numbers to be. They're in a contract year, and you went out and got 12 sacks, you're probably going to make $12 million per. That was, like, kind of the baseline. Now, obviously, there's guys like Myles Garrett that are getting, I don't know, $3 million per sack. But I think what you're paying Leonard Floyd is for the opportunity to get $1 million per sack. Like, that's hopefully what you would be expecting of him. And I think that he still kind of fits in that range. And that's why I love it. I mean, the saying always used to be, they don't pay you big contracts for tackles for loss. All right. They're paying you to get the quarterback on the ground because of how much it can change the game. So I love that cut from him, man. As soon as I heard that this morning, I was like, yes, yes. Just get the guy on the ground. I'm not going to, like, set the edge, sure. All right, whatever you got to do, keep contained, you know, play back inside, run the twist stunts, whatever it is, but get that man on the ground, and you know, that's what you'll be.
Work on pass rush, work on pass rush.
That's what we're going to love you here in the city of Atlanta for, Flo.
See, hopefully you guys can be playing that down the stretch during the season. So if he is going to try to, you know, shoulder a lot of the load of the pass rush, then what happens if the Falcons were to bring somebody else in to also help with that? He was asked the question. Just take a listen to it in the press conference.
A year ago, the Falcons' biggest offseason splash was signing a quarterback. And so then a lot of people were surprised when they made that their first-round focus. Would you be surprised or upset if pass rush help is the Falcons' first-round focus this year?
I mean, I'll be happy, you know. To me, pass rush is like having a basketball team. You want to have a rotation. You want to have players that can come in and do their thing and other players that can come in and do their thing. It got to be a basketball team. So the more the merrier, for sure.
I mean, I would have been like, are you serious? That might be the dumbest question I've ever been asked.
It's a clown question, bro.
Why wouldn't we want more guys like me that could get the quarterback on the ground? Now, I am not going to call out the person by name. I do know who this is, but that's a terrible question. This has nothing to do with Kirk Cousins or the quarterback thing. I mean, tell me you're just trying to be a pot stirrer without telling me you're trying to stir the pot, because that's all you just did. That's the stupidest, most asinine question I've heard in a long time. No, a team that had 31st in sacks last year and asked the guy that you came in who's a stopgap pass rusher for this year based on the contract if he wants help. I mean, and if you think this makes you a tough media town, no, it makes us sound dumb, because that's a dumb question. Why would you even ask that? Do you know Leonard Floyd can play on the field the same time as another guy that can come off the edge, right? I mean, it has nothing to do with Kirk Cousins. I despise stuff like this, because it is this kind of garbage in the media that pushes narratives that turns people against it. It turns people completely against the media when you sound moronic and uninformed with your questions. Where's Dan Hurley's PR guy at right now? Maybe we need that guy now, because this is when you can call someone out. Bobby Mullen or whatever your name is.
When
it's legit reporting, because this isn't legit reporting.
Let that man sizzle.
It's like, did this guy work for a cable news outlet that he's just pushing a narrative of one side or the other? It's garbage. And I love the way Leonard Floyd answered. I thought Leonard Floyd answered it as classy and professional and also intelligent from an unintelligent question as you can get.
It's so funny, man, because I agree with you to an extent, but it does have that vibe of like when you're shy on reporters and you have to have somebody from the weather division that has to go to the football press conference or something like that. There is a point in there. I agree with you to an extent, man. It was a little bit of a dry question, but in defense of some of these people that were at this presser, Leonard Floyd was not long-winded. You know what I mean? And so I think some people probably grasped him. He even talked about a Euro step at one point in his pass rush. So I thought that was cool to kind of take care of too. Yeah.
I don't think you got to be long-winded to have good questions. The press conference doesn't have to last a certain amount of time.
Right.
There's
no minimum.
It just sounds like you didn't know what to ask, and so you're like, I'll try to get on, you know.
Like, I agree. You're trying to get a soundbite, like, at that point.
And that's why I wouldn't have blamed Leonard Floyd. Was never going to do it. Like, it does him no favors to go up there and be, you know, snarky with reporters, because it just makes your life harder when things don't go, like, if you're going through a rough patch or whatever, right? I completely understand the player side of it. But that's why the guys get annoyed in locker rooms when you ask stuff like that. Like, I've been like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? They were almost last in the league in sacks. Don't you think they need as much as they can get, including me?
I can't remember who it was, but y'all would have to help me. There was a player in the tournament who didn't play, who was one of the star players, but did not play. And because he was like 2 of 17 from the field. Do y'all remember who that was? Anyway,
it was a guy on Patino's team, and they asked Patino why he didn't play late.
Yeah, and he was like, "Don't ask that question. You know the answer to that, dude. Like, don't ask that question."
But see, Patino can get away with that.
I agree. Yeah, to your point, it does Leonard Floyd no favors to say, "Well, I don't, you know, I don't." Michael Penix, this, that, and they're like, "Nah, I'm with you on that."
And that's when, honestly, you grow respect for how guys handle situations when you know you probably wouldn't handle it that way. I think we it's easier for me to say I would have been snarky because I'm around it and I've been around this team and I'm there everywhere. I'm at, you know, all these events. So I understand how it can be, but I just don't understand why we got to ask dumb stuff like that. Like, again, if you don't have a question, just bow out. I've been to a lot of press conferences where I didn't ask one question because I was like, you know, these guys are probably going to ask better questions than me. And that's, you know, that's times when we do interviews where if I don't have a question, go ahead. You don't have to make stuff up because then you just make yourself sound ridiculous. You know, but you know what? Something that sounds ridiculous? Sea lions attacking people.
I didn't have that on the bingo card today.
Well, my guy.
Saved by the Bell College
I'm gonna
years.
I'm going to send my guy RJ Lamondola out in a surfer out in Southern California a gift basket for some Baron Burton's products and maybe some Owl Inn Lager from New Realm because my dude was out about 150 yards offshore. And I say my dude, I don't know the guy, but I genuinely feel bad for him because he's out there on his board. And I think he was like paddling out or whatever. And he's out of nowhere. This dude sees a sea lion erupt from the water, go at him at full speed with its mouth wide open and teeth flashing. And he was like, look, man, his eyes locked on me with an unsettling ferocity. So
I'm looking this up.
Is there video of this? Can you retweet it?
There's no video. I just read the story. Oh. He dodged the first charge and then kept paddling towards the shore, but the sea lion did not stop. He said that his teeth were bared like some deranged predator.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, he goes, look, man, panic set in as I paddled toward the shore with everything I had. Then I thought that I had gotten the distance away, but then I saw it again, another furious charge, this time more enraged than before. Its movements were erratic, wild, almost unhinged.
Wow.
So,
he had the eye of the tiger.
Tried to shield himself, splashing water and shouting to try to, like, I guess, kind of, you know, scare it off, but it kept coming unstoppable, its jaws snapping closer. So at the last possible second, he says, his teeth loomed inches from his face. He swung his arm to fend it off, but the agility, eerie agility, dodging his strike, then lunged. It clamped down on his left butt cheek, piercing through his 5/4 millimeter wetsuit. He goes, look, the pain was sharp and immediate, but the terror was worse. It shook its head violently, tugging me off my board by my flesh, dragging me into the water. He was able to get away, and he said, I've never seen anything like this. Its expression was feral, almost demonic.
So sea lions, and I pulled this up, they don't generally attack humans, but they can be aggressive. They feel threatened, stressed, or if they're ill. I will also put this out there. Glad that that person is okay. When you go into the ocean, it's the ocean.
Well,
so expect whatever you should expect. You can't.
Hold on now.
It's the ocean.
Look, there have, in this area,
there's been
wildlife officials have told the beachgoers about a toxic algae outbreak that's been affecting marine wildlife off California.
I feel like you're judging this guy for going swimming.
I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know why you're judging him. You shouldn't judge him. You don't know the situation.
We felt bad for you when you got attacked by the birds. And we were like, yo, when you walk by trees.
No, I'm in their habitat, and I'm walking past the trees. I'm too
trees.
Close to the nest.
Don't
feel bad for me.
Hold on. Outdoors is my habitat, too, because we are at the top of the food chain. Lamondola said, was told that sea lions have been coming sick after ingesting domoic acid, which is algal bloom, resulting from a single-celled organism called... Not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's pseudo. I am going to try to pronounce it. Nitschia, and it can cause brain and heart damage. So they're thinking that this is a neurological condition caused by the toxic algae blooms, and it's making these creatures be uncharacteristic and aggressive. But it's just one of those things where now, look, I do agree with Tiff. When you go in the ocean,
it's not judgment. It's just a fact.
You have to be careful. But I don't think that this sea lion felt threatened by just a guy on his paddleboard.
I read the number of things. Illness, aggression, or if they're threatened.
I just have this quote from Step Brothers that keeps popping up in my head. He had that crazy look in his eye, and at one point he said, let's get it on.
Let's go.
Like, that's exactly what happened to this fellow on his surfboard.
I feel like the ocean's revolting again. So there's like a lot of deep sea creatures being unearthed that we've never seen before. There's a lot going on. But anyway, glad he's okay. But yeah, the ocean, swimming at
crazy
your
place
own risk, you know, just like driving in Atlanta. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we actually won't be back. We're done here, and we've got the steakhouse next. Have fun, guys. That's it for us here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.